All right, let's open this morning to Proverbs 24. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24, let's go down to verse 15. Proverbs 24, 15. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Let's pray. Now, Father, come back to you here this morning. We are anxious for a good and happy and joyous day outside for a while together as brothers and sisters in Christ later on this afternoon. Look forward to the meal. We look forward to fellowship with Thee. We pray here this morning that our fellowship with Thee indeed would be sweet. May we have come here with honest and sincere hearts. May You help us as we listen to the Word of God this morning. Father, may You grant us courage in our hearts to do what's right. Father, in particular about this thing we're going to speak on today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've preached out of this passage a couple other times, other sermons and such. I have to say that when I think about the perilous times we're in and casualties that we all know and such, I think a lot about verse 16. A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. I remember, I don't know, a few months back, I'm not sure what the occasion was for Brother Grissom's preaching. I know he was preaching, I was here, not sure what all that was about now, but I remember he came through this passage and just touched on it for a second. And when he touched on it again, the Lord kind of talked to me and poked me in the chest on this. And I wrote down a note here, and that's what this comes out of this morning. Now, notice something in verse 15 and 16. I hope that you can see and that you cannot overlook the clash between the wicked and the righteous. Verse 15, lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Verse 16, for a just man falleth seven times, riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. That conflict, that clash between the wicked and the righteous, right? Now, I hope you know by now, I know I preached on the wicked here just a couple of weeks ago, but I hope you realize that this controversy between the wicked and the righteous is the controversy of the last days. It is the controversy of perilous times. It is wickedness and the wicked against righteousness and the righteous. That has always been the issue. It's really never been anything else. I will say this. I hope you are not succumbing to the phobia that modern Christians have for being called legalists and self-righteous Pharisees and such. Nowadays, whenever somebody like us has a Bible conviction about, say, or against, say, gay marriage or some such thing, we are automatically shouted down as legalists and Pharisees and various other things. We're supposed to drop in the center of the floor where we stand, become quivering balls of jello, or perhaps dive under the couch. Those names are supposed to shut us up. I hope you don't do that. I hope you realize that the entire issue all along from Genesis 1 all the way through till now has always been the righteous versus the wicked, righteousness versus wickedness, the mystery of iniquity versus the mystery of godliness. Right? We're in Pensacola. I mentioned it earlier on Memorial Day last week, and I lost track of the fact that it was Memorial Day. The last two times we've been down there, we've been down there for graduation. And each of those times, it's been the Memorial Day weekend where the gay pride people all show up down there on the beach for 4 days and party. And this last Memorial Day weekend, of course, the media was all up in air. And what a wonderful thing it is that we can tolerate each other and folks can come to the beach no matter what they are or where they come from and enjoy this wonderful time together, the white sand beaches. It's just so wonderful now to live in a tolerant society. Ladies and gentlemen, no matter how they spin that thing, the issue has been open, public, perverseness, and wickedness versus righteousness. You can call it what you want, you can say what you like, but the day that you move over to tolerating and being open to that sort of thing, you are wrong, you're against God. It's kind of funny, isn't it? Most people to this hour, most sane, reasonable people to this hour, would say that Nazism was wicked. That what was done during the Nazi regime with Israel and so on was absolutely wicked. Is it not interesting that nowadays, while most folks still consider that wicked, it's okay for Islam to feel the very same way as the Nazis towards Israel and toward the Jews? What's wrong with this scenario? Somebody is crazy. Ladies and gentlemen, there is so much of American society and American culture today that is really boils down to right and wrong, black and white. That is just wickedness. And it'll never be the mainstream media's position. And they're always going to shout you down. You're always going to be called a Bible thumper, a Jesus freak, a Pharisee and a legalist. But there are things in our society that are just openly perverse and openly wicked. Somebody once very wisely said that tolerance is the last virtue of a wicked society. I like that one. I think they're right. Now, with regard to that, let me point out a couple of things here before I tell you what this is all about. In verse 15, notice not only this paradox, this conflict, this clash between the wicked and the righteous, but notice also in verse 15, lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. So there is this laying in wait. I'd like to say that laying in wait is a ploy and strategy of highwaymen, thieves, and the ungodly. I know there's a place militarily for an ambush, but by societal standards, scriptural standards, as far as spiritual things are concerned, somebody laying in wait is looking for an opportunity to exploit you, to steal from you, to ravage you, right? And that's part of what we fight here. You have this wickedness versus righteousness. Then at the same time, somebody is lying in wait to ambush and exploit. They're out to abuse a moment when I am not completely vigilant. They're out to exploit a moment that I'm weak, a moment that I'm sick, a moment that I'm asleep, right? I'll remind you what Ephesians chapter 4 says, where it states along these lines, if I can find it here, Ephesians chapter 4, where it says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, I'm not going to tell you just for a moment, a few moments here, the title of the message. You'll get that soon enough. But notice once again, Proverbs 24:15. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Let me point out to you, first of all, I only have two or three things to say this morning. They're very long things to say, but they're just few. Notice, first of all, the falling, okay? The falling. It says there, verse 16, a just man falleth seven times. Now, folks, that's a just man falling. Now, that just man riseth up again, right? That's good. I mean, a man that's right just keeps on coming, can't keep him down. That's good, the just man rising. But I wanted you to see that just man also falleth seven times. That's a just man, okay? A man as good as you. A man better than you. Abraham fell. He's a better man than me. David fell. Moses fell. As far as I'm concerned, Jeroboam may have been a better man than me. And he fell. Solomon fell. You can go right down the line. You find these good men, these just men that fell. They fell, and sometimes they fell more than once. It says here, a just man falleth seven times. Now, it's a just man that does it. I'll say more in a second. But the just man falleth. Now, let me talk about falling. I'm talking about the falling here. I want to say this. I am not lowering the moral and spiritual bar. Okay? That is not the goal here this morning. I am not interested in justifying my sins or your sins. Okay? I am not undercutting the Lord's admonitions for us to be holy in every respect. Okay? So having said that, I'll say that a just man in this passage still falls seven times and riseth up again. Now, as far as I can see, accepting Jesus Christ, every man that the Bible highlights for any length of time at all in the Word of God failed and fell. I don't just mean he fell like Adam fell. I mean, Abraham lied about his wife twice. His son lied about his wife. Right? David, you all know his sins. He lied and committed adultery and murdered. That is a bad falling. I'm not justifying the sin. I am not letting the camel get his nose in the door. I'm not suggesting for a moment these things are justifiable. I'm only saying what the Bible says, that a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. A just man falleth. All that proves is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. It doesn't say there's not a just man that doeth good. It says there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now, again, if you're lost, that means that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I tell you what else it means. It means something for me and you that are saved. It means something about how when I got saved and all things became new in Jesus Christ came to live in my body. Am I right? But within that body where Jesus Christ lives and the Spirit of Christ lives, there is still something else that lives beside it. It's the old man. That old man's deeds are supposed to be mortified daily. Right? I am told that I have lusts that abide in my flesh and that most of my problems in this life have to do with me yielding to those lusts. But the old man is supposed to be crucified. And the old man put off, the new man put on. Right? Okay. That said, the Bible says, a just man falleth seven times. Now, I've always been fairly athletic and don't do a lot of falling in public. I remember a few years back, I've told you the story before. It was actually Mrs. Jonak's funeral, if you guys know that. Marcia and I pulled up to the funeral home in the van. It was a January or February day, and the sun had been out and melted all the snow and stuff off, except, of course, in the shade where we parked, where that water had all refrozen. Buddy, I stepped out of that E-150 with a pair of boots on, cowboy boots, of all things. I quit wearing them after this. And I mean, I put that foot down and moved some weight over. I mean, before I knew it, I was flat on my back. My sermon material was blowing across the parking lot. My right foot was up in the van. I had fallen. Thankfully, I did not fall like Julie Perlinger fell. But I mean, it was ugly. It was humiliating. The first thing I did was jump up and look around to make sure I knew who didn't see me. So I'm telling you, folks, I know we're talking about a different kind of fall here. But a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. One of the things I'd like to say is that I believe that with our modern radio-based, charismatic, TV-based Christianity, that Christianity now has been very poorly equipped for the inherent frustrations and disappointments of the Christian life. They're taught so often, you get saved, you're a new creature in Christ, everything is going to be wonderful from here. I mean, it's all going to be on an uphill slant from here. It's going to be great from here. It's going to be a vibrating lazy boy every day. And that's just not true. We have been poorly equipped for the fact that when you get in the Bible as you should, your character and your weaknesses and your sins are exposed in that Word of God every day till you see yourself uglier day by day in that mirror. Yes, you know that you have the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ overriding everything in God's eyes. That much is true. But I still am what I am in the mirror when I look in the Word of God. I believe that modern Christianity is very poorly equipped for the nature of the frustration, the battle between flesh and spirit. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, right? I believe that folks have been very poorly equipped to know what to do when in your weakness and sinfulness, the old man gets a leg up and you do stumble and you do fall. The Bible says, a just man falleth 7 times. Now, what that means to me is that I am not justifying defrauding people out of money. I'm not saying sodomy is okay. I'm not saying anything's okay. I'm saying that even saved now, I'm 42 years saved now. Brother, if you've been saved for 30 years, is there something you still struggle with? Is there a patience issue, a character issue, a temper issue, that sort of thing that you still struggle with and once in a while just gets on top of you and it beats you down? And before you know it, you're on the ground. You did it again. You've fallen again. The Bible testifies that a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can grow real calloused about that. I can fall so many times with my temperament or my impatience or my whatever you wish to name that is my besetting sin that I can grow callous to it. And I just consider it my right and privilege to wallow in that one thing for the rest of my life. Okay, I want to say that's wrong. But I want to say the Bible says that a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Now look, I would point out to you in the passage, verse 16, I'll grant you that a man goes to battle. We sang a battle song this morning. A man goes to battle, and sometimes he falls in battle. That much is true. But it doesn't say this man fell in battle. It doesn't say he was knocked down. It doesn't say he was overrun. It doesn't say that he was overwhelmed by things outside of himself. It says a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Fact of the matter is, sometimes the way you fall is pretty humiliating. Because you know that you should be on top of this. You know you should have defeated this matter, right? I have to admit to you, I'll tell you, I mean, you face some things going through the Christian life for a while, but I have to say, I can never recall a time falling. Now, when I say I fell, I'm not talking about running off with another man's wife, okay? I hope you understand. We're not trying to let the camel get his nose in the tent here. I'm not talking about that. I am saying the times that I know of that I have fallen, I never recall suddenly from nowhere the devil jumping on my back, getting me in a chokehold and wrestling me to the ground. It's never been that way. I fell because it's my fault. If the devil managed to wrestle me down, it was because I was not vigilant. And it was still my fault. A just man falleth I would just say, for those of you that know what these frustrations are about, I'm not justifying your sin. I will not do that. But I will tell you this. I believe that it is within God's purview that He knows that before this life was over, the just man was going to fall quite a lot. Okay? Does God know your heart? Does God know your motives? Does God know your future? I can tell you this. God knows that you're going to fall some. I'm not talking about going off into deep, dark, dank, wretched sin. I'm talking about falling after the weakness of human nature. The fall. The falling. Now, there's something else I wanted to show you here. Notice in verse 16 something else. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Notice not only the falling, but notice the rising. Now look, the just man riseth up again. Now the guy falls, and he falls seven times. How many of you have sins, failings, character failings? Those are sins too, that you have repeatedly fallen into. How often have you been enticed into an argument in retrospect? You go, I did it again. I allowed him, her, or it to entice me into getting angry and frustrated and into an argument that I should not have gotten into. I mean, stuff like that. How often has a man kicked himself after growing too angry too quickly, after having lost his temper, after having said something he should not have said? All right, I want to say, a just man falleth seven times. It's something that's repeated. It's not that it should be repeated. It's not that God is happy it's repeated. The fact of the matter is, there are going to be things in your Christian life. I can say this after having been saved for 42 years of 52, that there's going to be things you struggle with from the time before you got saved all the way probably till the end. A just man falleth. Sometimes he falls repeatedly. What does he do then? He deals with the falling and does something very profound. He riseth up again. Ladies and gentlemen, he gets back up. The title of this message is Rise. Because I can tell you this, I'm standing in front of a bunch of sinners this morning. I bet you I'm not interested in confessions. I don't think that any of you probably necessarily have a drug habit or that you're pornographers on the side, that sort of thing. I hope not. Whatever it is, I'll guarantee you I'm standing in front of a bunch of sinners that have repeatedly sinned in the same thing and probably done some kicking of yourselves in the same ways. I want to say, a just man falleth seven times. And then he does a very profound thing. He riseth up again. He riseth up again. Okay, you fall. I have before felt the absolute fool. I have felt shame, disgrace, humiliation in some things that I have fallen in. No, I'm not a drug addict. No, I don't sneak away to Hinckley. Okay? No, I don't have a girlfriend on the side. No, no, no for most of those things. But I'm telling you this. Impatience and frustration and anger and materialism and three dozen other things you can name, those things are wicked too. And those things are sin too. And those things sometimes become ingrained in the character and habits of men. And a man struggles with those things year after year after year. I just want to say, a just man falleth seven times and then does a very profound thing. He riseth up again. Right? Brethren, rise. Don't listen to the charismatics. Put away, when you realize you've fallen, put away bad doctrine. Don't be talked into some ultra-romantic fairy tale idealism of how wonderful things still are. Admit you're a sinner. Go back to God and deal with that sin. And rise up again. A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. I got three things to say about rising. First of all, he riseth up. The direction's up. I can't explain it. I can't explain how, but you are better off for having risen again. You fall more than once, most likely. If you go to basic training in the Army, if you make the SEAL team final cut, you will wind up having to go through Hell Week. Okay? Those instructors drive those men. Every time they fall, they are forced with an instructor in their face to get back up and go on. And it's hard to explain, but a man is made better for having gotten up over and over and over again. It won't seem like it's better when you've fallen back into that thing that the Holy Spirit is wailing on you about, that the devil tempted you in. It won't feel better. You won't necessarily feel better as you get up and try to crawl out of the hole. You can't measure exactly how it is you're better for having gotten back up. But I'm telling you this. You're a better man for having fallen and risen again and again and again. I want to say, secondly, you rise not only up, you rise up again. I'm not trying to allow the camel to get his nose in the door here. I'm not trying to justify my sins or yours. I'm not trying to make an allowance for you to have a habit in sinning that you're not serious about getting rid of. But I will say this. It is a basic, brutal fact that the just man falls seven times. Repeatedly. Over and over and over. Are you self-pitying? It's hard to get rid of self-pity. It's hard to get rid of. Are you self-centered? It's hard to get rid of self-centeredness. Are you easily provoked? It's hard to get rid of that. Are you materialistic in mindset? It's hard to not be appealed to in the world. I want to say, it is a brutal fact there are things in this life, sin in this life, that you're going to fall in repeatedly. Time after time. I hope it's humiliating. Again, I can testify that I still have issues in my life that I had when I was 20 years old. And they don't look too bad probably on the scale of a lot of sin in this life. But I have to tell you, I have lain on my office floor before, absolutely humiliated for having gone there. And I can't explain exactly how, but I'm made a better man for having gotten up. The just man falleth seven times, but he arises again and again and again and again and again. There's something else that's probably not directly in this passage. I'd like to say not only does he rise up, he rises again, but he also rises quickly. There's a need for you to rise quickly. I know folks that fell and didn't get up, and they've been down now for 5 years, for 7 years, for 10 years, for 15 years. They have not gotten up. When a man is hypothermic in the middle of a blizzard and he falls, he better get back up fast. Otherwise, he's going to lay down and die. Is that right? If you're in a fight and you get knocked down in a crowd, you better get back up on your feet. Somebody's going to kick you to death if you don't get back up. If you are marching through a foot and a half of mud and mire, if you fall, you better get back up quickly because you can drown in 3 inches of water. You can certainly drown in a foot and a half of muck and mire. A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Let me show you a passage of Scripture that I like a lot. Look in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. I believe this has all kinds of implications for our welfare-ridden society. A lot of folks that have problems they'd like to blame on somebody else and would love to have somebody else just pick them up and carry them for the rest of their lives. Notice Daniel chapter 10. Go down to verse 9. Daniel's been praying, sees a vision. Yet heard I the voice of his words. When I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face and my face toward the ground. Flat on his belly, sleeping with his face down. Verse 10. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. So he reaches down and picks Daniel up. And so Daniel is picked up as far as his knees and his palms. He's on his hands and knees. Now, if I were the Lord, if I were the angel, I just would have gone ahead and picked Daniel up all the way. But that's not what happened. Then, verse 11. He said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright. In effect, reached down, picked him up on his hands and knees, and then bent down and said, now, get up. Now, get up. Now, in our society today, people intended to be picked up all the way to their feet. They don't intend to have to crawl to their feet at all. If they get picked up at all, they want to be picked up all the way. I want you to know right now, the Lord is not interested in these affairs. I'm not talking about salvation. Talking about in practical affairs, the Lord is not interested in picking you all the way up. You're going to have to do some picking up yourself. He says, Daniel, I'll pick you up this far. You stand up the rest of the way. A just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. He rises up again and again. We've talked about the falling. We've talked about the rising. Let me point out one other thing to you. And I'd like to talk to you about the reason. Why does the just man rise again? After being so humiliated, so frustrated by this continuing issue, and he thought he would have been done with it a long time ago, but he's not done with it. He's still impatient. He's still frustrated. He's still temperamental. He's still cranky. He's still hard to get along with. He still hates that guy over there. Ever have somebody that you just thought deserved a punch in the face every time you saw him, no matter what they said? Good morning, pow! Just don't like that guy. A just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. The reason, why does the just man get back up from his fall? Well, I got thinking about it. Most of you men that are my generation, a little younger, so 35 and younger. See, that was supposed to be funny. Most of us were at one time or another. I'm not trying to sanctify all of the issues in the movie, the series. I'm not trying to justify the music itself. But most of us at one time or another in our lives, as men, were inspired by Rocky. I remember when it all started coming out, when, you know, we didn't have iPods and iPads and iThings back then. Guys walked around with a boombox the size of a Cadillac on their shoulder playing the Rocky theme, right? And here's Rocky, blasted, lambasted, knocked from here to yonder, head over heels, just would not stay down. Why does Rocky not stay down? The Italian stallion, man. He's from Philadelphia. Or maybe it was because of Adrian. I don't know. I know it's just a movie, but Rocky would not stay down. Well, a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. I got thinking about how, you know, a man that's going to go through that has to be resilient. Talking about Christian character. Just resilience. Something with temper. The temper of the metal. The Timex watch. It takes a licking and keeps on ticking, but that was before most of your time. And there was a time that Ford was Ford tough. I don't know if it's any tougher than Chevy. Not really sure. But I just know that Rocky got the snot pounded out of him, and he would just not stay down. You know? Billy Sunday used to say, he said, I'm against the devil. I'm going to fight against the devil. I'm going to hit the devil as long as I have arms, kick the devil as long as I have feet, bite the devil as long as I have teeth. When he kicks my teeth out, I will do all that I can to gum him to death. Well, here's a guy, he's resilient. I mean, something needed in the Christian life, brethren, where you keep getting knocked down, the sin, it's the same sin from all those years ago. I'm not talking about gross pornography. I'm not talking about adultery. You need to get rid of that. But as far as just issues of sin that you keep going for, the just man falleth seven times. And the just man then gets ashamed. He's disgraced. He's humiliated before God, perhaps before men. He's so tired of being defeated by this silly thing. And yet out of that humiliation, he still rises up again, time after time after time. That's resilience, right? I think about resolve. I read a book, then saw the movie. The movie has some questionable elements in it. I'd be careful with it if you get it. It's called The Long Walk. It's about this Polish guy that was captured by the Russians in World War II and hauled off to the Siberian prison camp, somewhere in Siberia, I don't know exactly where. The guy escapes with about seven others out of Siberia, out of the prison camp, and proceeds to walk to Pakistan. He walked out of Siberia, across Mongolia, across the Gobi Desert, through part of China, to Pakistan. It took him a year. It took them a year to walk out. Brother, that's a long walk. That is resolve. Well, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Why does the just man rise up again and again and again? I find part of an answer here. Verse 15. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Notice the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. His resting place. I would take literally that passage to mean that the wicked is laying in wait against the guy's house, his home, his dwelling, his resting place. Okay? Okay, well, a man will fight for his home and his family when he'll fight for nothing else. Right? So, okay, how does that apply to me, Brother Stevens? Well, I noticed something else. Verse 15 again, the dwelling of the righteous, his resting place. Then notice backward a little bit. Verse 14. Notice thy expectation shall not be cut off. Now, you probably know this being coming here, but notice back in Proverbs chapter 10, I'm trying to find what this resting place is for me. Okay, it's my home, it's my family. I know Jesus Christ is supposed to be my resting place, right? But it mentions an expectation. Notice verse 28 of chapter 10, Proverbs 10, 28. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Notice, hope and expectation used together. Notice verse 7 of chapter 11. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth. I am taught there that a Christian's hope is his expectation. We don't mean, when we say we have hope in Christ, we're not saying, boy, we sure hope we're saved. We're saying that Christ is our expectation and our hope. It's what we're expecting will happen. I dare say that from this verse in Proverbs 24, I dare say that a Christian's resting place, the place that he dwells, is his expectation and hope. Ladies and gentlemen, my resting place is Jesus Christ. And I am there positionally in Him because He placed me there. But beyond that, my resting place is my expectation that the Bible's true, that the promises are pure. They're going to come through for me. If it says you'll be strong under these conditions, I will be. If I give you this stuff under these conditions, He's going to give me stuff if I fulfill those conditions. That resting place is my expectation. It's my hope. A just man falls seven times, and he riseth up again. Why does he rise up? He rises up in part because the wicked is out to destroy his resting place. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is my Savior. But you know what? I don't know Jesus Christ except through what I expect is true of the Bible. I know Jesus Christ through the Bible. Folks, the Bible tells me which questions to ask. It gives me explanations the world does not have. It grants to me promises that you can't get with an 8-year degree at the U of M. You understand? The foundation of all my hopes and all my joys and my eternity are the expectations of the book. My resting place is the book. And those people out there are always trying to destroy it. They lay in wait against my resting place. The devil does that. Wicked men do that. When I think about quitting, I get tired of being knocked down by the same old thing. I get tired of going for the bait. I get tired of falling for it. It's humiliating. It's exasperating. I'm humiliated sometimes before God when a man sees me. I'm humiliated before the man for having failed in this thing again. But I think about not getting up, and I think about the devil and the world and how they're out to tear up the book and how I know the book and have answers from the book. I don't have all the answers, but I have answers. And I'm not willing to allow him to spoil my resting place. It's where I live. I'm supposed to be standing guard. It's my honor to stand guard there. It's an honor to protect my family, my friends. I refuse to lay down and stay down and not get back up. Brother, a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. You need to get back up. Say, I am so tired of me. I am so tired of my same old sins. I am so tired of self-pity. I am so tired of being defeated over and over again, being cross-circuited by discouragement, depression, a bad temper, impatience, 50 other things. I'm so tired of falling to this same thing every time. Get back up. You say, but I'll just fall again. Maybe. I wouldn't take that as necessary. Get back up. Rise. A just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. I have one more thing to say with regard to why he might have risen. You saw the resting place, that resting place for me. It's not just Christ. It's the Christ of the Bible. It's the Christ of the promises of the Bible. My expectations rest right here in what this says. Beyond that, I would put it as trust. I would put it as the fact that I have been entrusted with something. Why didn't Abraham stay down? Lied twice, found out twice in lying about his wife being his sister. Don't you think it'd be hard to... Here he does this before the Philistines and God as well. He gets shamed before God and before the Philistines as well, has to admit twice, you're right, I lied. Wouldn't you just want to go hide, just bury your head and lay down and quit? Why didn't he? Because God had made a covenant with him. God had given him responsibilities. There were things he had to do. Why? How about David? How about Noah? How about Daniel? How about those guys? How about Eli, the high priest, who still allowed his family to get away from him? And then Samuel comes behind him, sees that happen, and then allows his family to be ungodly as well. Why wouldn't you finally just say, okay, I give up, I just can't do it? A just man falleth 7 times, riseth up again. Why do they rise up? Brother, because God gave them something special. God gave them a trust. He made them stewards of something. Jeremiah says, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm fed up with this. He said, I have enemies round about on every side. I will not speak anymore in his name. He said, but his word was as a fire shut up in my bones. I was weary with forbearing. I could not stay. Why? He had been entrusted with the Word of God. He couldn't just sit there and keep his mouth shut. I would say it's trust. What gets you back up? You say, well, maybe I'm not even going to get back up. Well, you should. I'll tell you why. Because God has entrusted you with the gospel. God has entrusted you with an ambassadorship to this world. You need to get back up on your feet. You say, I'll just fall again. Maybe you will. I wouldn't give the devil that victory. If you have to crawl back to your feet 10,000 times from now to the rapture, you know how many times you should crawl to your feet? 10,000 times. You should. Because I can tell you this right now. You're going to sin. I don't care what they say. You're going to fall. I'm not suggesting for a moment you should justify your adultery. Don't justify gambling. Don't justify drinking. All that kind of stuff. I am saying you're going to fail in your character. Probably repeatedly. The only right thing to do is get back up. Rise. Get back up. Do not allow yourself to be let down on the ground where people can stomp you, where the devil can use you as spoil to rub God's nose and how the devil's defeated you. A just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we pray you'll give your people a spirit of soldiery, Father, a militant spirit where for what this battle is that we fight, we do get knocked down, and so often it's not strictly the devil that does it. So often it's the lust that dwell in our members. It's allowing the old man an upper hand for just a brief time. We wind up flat on our backs again. Father, it is frustrating down there. It is humiliating down there. We've fallen and failed before you, perhaps even failed before the brethren. Lord, a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. How many times do we fail in prayer and still go back to prayer? How many times do we fail in bravery or cowardice and yet we're called to go back again? Moses failed in Egypt and you called him to go back to Egypt to deliver thy people. Father, how many times you call us right back to that thing that's defeated us over and over again. Help us, Lord, we pray, to know that a just man falleth 7 times. That man riseth up again and again and again. Help us not stay down. Let's keep our heads bowed, our eyes closed here for a minute. By some standards, not much of a Sunday morning message. The gospel not clearly evident for lost folks. But we live in perilous times. And you have personally watched people around you lay down and quit. They might dispute that they have, but they have. Strictly speaking, it wasn't the devil's excellent chess strategy that put them on their backs. More often than not, from a lack of vigilance, they allowed it to happen. And there's something else that's very true. They choose to stay down. I'm asking you, I'm admonishing you, I'm exhorting you. No matter how many times you get knocked down, do not concede to stay down. You're going to discover yourself in the Bible to be weak and lazy and jealous and foolish and indiscreet and imprudent and any 2 or 3 dozen other things that the Lord finds abominable in your character. And you're going to fail in some of those things repeatedly, but you're going to fail in some of those things. And some people just decide just to stay down. I'm asking you not to allow yourself that concession. A just man falleth 7 times and riseth up. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we're going to be dismissed here. Appreciate these folks coming out this morning. We look forward to a good afternoon. We pray you'll grant us safety. Pray now, even now, you'd bless the food, the hands that prepare it, all those sort of things. We love you, Lord. We need you. As we get together today at a picnic just to play ball and have fellowship together, Father, may we not forget we're soldiers on a battlefield, and there's a lot going on around us, and there are many, many casualties lying all about. Help us not stay down. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. We'll see y'all up at the park here very shortly.